Okay, great. Well, again, I'm Rachel Sachs, and I'm manager for Early Childhood Development Initiatives at the Illinois Chapter of the American Academy of Pediatrics, or ICAP, as I will be referring to it. I have no financial relationships to disclose. Before I get started, I want to thank all the funders who made possible the work that I'm about to discuss. Michael Reese Health Trust, Illinois Children's Healthcare Foundation, Irving Harris Foundation, Illinois Department of Healthcare and Family Services. And the efforts that I'm going to discuss today originated as an offshoot of another longstanding project, which is the Enhancing Developmentally Oriented Primary Care Project, or EDOPC. And that project is a partnership of the Advocate Healthcare Healthy Steps Program and ICAP. Through the EDOPC project, several of these funders here have worked with us closely for many years, so we really thank them for that and for this opportunity. So by the end of my presentation, you should be able to define Bright Futures and explain its benefits for states incorporating it into their Medicaid and CHIP programs in the era of health reform. You should be able to describe the collaborative process employed to promote Bright Futures as a standard of care for providers in Illinois and to integrate Bright Futures into the Illinois Medical Provider Handbook, and identify key lessons learned from the process and also formulate possible next steps to address practice and systems level needs. So Bright Futures is a national health promotion and disease prevention initiative that was developed by the Health Resources and Services Administration along with the American Academy of Pediatrics. The first edition of the Bright Futures Guidelines for Health Supervision of Infants, Children, and Adolescents was published in 1994, and the most recent edition, which is the third edition, was published in 2008. The mission of Bright Futures is to promote and improve the health, education, and well-being of infants, children, adolescents, families, and communities. The Bright Futures Guidelines third edition provides detailed information on well child care for healthcare practitioners, and it's really considered the gold standard for pediatric care from birth all the way through age 21. The Bright Futures system also offers tools and resources such as pre-visit questionnaires, visit documentation forms, and parent handouts to aid providers in putting the guidelines into practice. So what about Bright Futures makes it considered the gold standard for well child care? Well, it's really a set of principles, strategies, and tools that can assist healthcare professionals in service delivery. It's theory-based and evidence-driven, and it's also systems-oriented, encompassing much more than just the individual health supervision visit. The Bright Futures principles, strategies, and tools can help improve the health and well-being of children through culturally competent approaches that address both current and emerging health promotion needs, and that operate at the family, clinical practice, community, health system, and policy levels. This makes Bright Futures unique in that it not only gives practices the tools to provide evidence-based culturally competent care, but it also encourages healthcare providers to view children in the larger context of family, community, and systems in order to address emerging and ongoing health needs. These are the goals of Bright Futures. I'll just read a couple. Enhance health professionals' knowledge, skills, and practice of developmentally appropriate healthcare in the context of family and community. Promote desired social, developmental, and health outcomes for infants, children, and adolescents, and foster partnerships between families, healthcare professionals, and communities. One of the most significant features of the Bright Futures Guidelines is that its recommendations are evidence-based. They were developed by multidisciplinary panels and through careful review of the literature. The guidelines also detail the rationale for and evidence behind all of the services that they recommend. And this is really nice, both in terms of understanding the basis for emerging or changing recommendations, but also just for providers who want to delve a little bit more into the research behind the services that they offer. Another important feature of Bright Futures is its periodicity schedule, which structures the timing of well-child services and identifies the developmental observations, physical exam elements, risk assessments, screenings, immunizations that are important to each well-child visit. And this is important to providers in guiding when various well-child services should be administered. I do want to point out that this does not govern sick care, and medically necessary care must always be provided to children, at least in Illinois state programs, regardless of the Bright Futures periodicity schedule. The Bright Futures guidelines also highlight 10 health promotion themes that cut across age groups and are important to families and health professionals. And these include things like promoting family support, promoting child development, promoting mental health, and promoting healthy weight. Another feature of the guidelines is the visit priorities. While the health promotion themes cross developmental stages, the visit priorities are specific to age groups. For each visit, there's four or five specific topics that Bright Futures highlights, in addition, of course, to the concerns of the parent or youth, which are always the most important priority. Having set visit priorities helps to guide conversations during the visit and also helps to ensure continuity, even if patients see different providers. Just as an example, two of the priorities for the 9-month visit are infant independence, so things like changing sleep patterns, developmental mobility, cognitive development, and safety, so car safety seats, window guards drowning, poisoning, guns. Bright Futures also suggests anticipatory guidance to cover at each visit, organized around these same visit priorities. So for each of the priorities, there's sample questions and subtopics that providers can use as a starting point. For example, some of the anticipatory guidance subtopics for the 9-month visit around infant independence would be things like provide opportunities for safe exploration, or talk, sing, read together, respond to baby's cues, and some sample questions might be, how do you think your baby's learning? How is he communicating with you? Finally, Bright Futures is not only a set of guidelines, but it also provides a variety of ancillary material, such as parent education handouts that are designed to enhance family-centered care and encourage communication. The parent handouts not only cover key anticipatory guidance topics and visit priorities to encourage dialogue, but they also have a section to prepare parents for the subsequent health supervision visit. So, for example, on the 9-month handout, it actually has a section that says what to expect at your child's 12-month visit. So clearly, Bright Futures has some significant benefits for families and providers, but why else might states want to promote Bright Futures as standard of care in their state medical programs? Well, the short answer is that it's in the Affordable Care Act, which you all know is the health reform legislation that was signed into law in 2010. Under the ACA, health plans are now required to cover at no cost or copay a number of different preventive services. And when it comes to care for children, the preventive services that will be covered are those that are recommended by Bright Futures. This means that some of those services that will no longer have cost sharing are regular pediatrician visits, vision and hearing screenings, developmental assessments, and immunizations. I point this out because although most of the provisions in the Affordable Care Act really focus on the adult population, it's important to know that by requiring that insurers cover Bright Futures preventive services without any cost sharing, the ACA may help the pediatric population gain easier access to things like well baby and well child visits and other preventive services and screenings. So recognizing these new requirements, three organizations in Illinois committed to unsurpassed care for children and families partnered together to promote Bright Futures as the standard of care for children and adolescents in Illinois, to integrate Bright Futures into state programs, and to improve awareness of Bright Futures. The project originated with the Illinois Department of Healthcare and Family Services, or HFS, which is the agency that administers Medicaid and the Children's Health Insurance Program, or CHIP, in the state of Illinois. HFS was forward-thinking and sought to promote the Bright Futures Well Child recommendations as a standard of care for all primary care providers serving Medicaid and CHIP clients in the state. The two natural partners for HFS were ICAP and also Illinois Health Connect, which is the current primary care case management program that serves most individuals eligible for Medicaid or CHIP in Illinois. Together, we sought to meet the following objectives: to develop an infrastructure and materials to promote Bright Futures in Illinois, which entailed assisting HFS with revision or production of materials and also making recommendations for policy changes; to increase awareness of Bright Futures guidelines among Illinois PCPs; and to expand consumer awareness of Bright Futures. A Bright Futures Advisory Committee was formed to help meet the project objectives, and through intentional and broad recruitment, we had a variety of individuals join the group, including general pediatricians from a variety of practice settings, specialists, a nurse practitioner, and individuals with policy, systems, and community expertise. The advisory committee met over a six-month period in order to oversee several key project components, the primary of which were to review HFS policies and materials, particularly the Handbook for Providers of Healthy Kids Services, which I'll get to in a moment, and to make content and policy recommendations to help assure the compliance and improve the distribution of Bright Futures tools. In addition, the project also entails some efforts to communicate the Bright Futures guidelines and their importance to private insurers, create educational materials and communications such as provider notices for physicians to reinforce Bright Futures and communicate policy changes from HFS, and to develop other resources and promotional materials for other stakeholder groups such as advocates and families to increase awareness. One of the most significant endeavors of this project has been the review of the Handbook for Providers of Healthy Kids Services. Known as the Healthy Kids Handbook, this is the handbook designed for the guidance of providers participating in healthcare programs funded or administered by HFS. It states HFS policy in order to enable providers to know which services provided to eligible participants are covered, submit proper billings for services rendered, and make inquiries when necessary to obtain clarification of department policy. Sections of the handbook were systematically studied, first by our advisory committee and then by other physicians, stakeholders, and ICAP staff with content expertise. These participants were charged with identifying guidelines that were inconsistent with Bright Futures, sections that lacked clarity and would be confusing to providers or payers, and also content that could otherwise be enhanced to reinforce key concepts from Bright Futures. Through the systematic review process, a comprehensive list of recommended content and policy changes were developed to improve the Healthy Kids Handbook. Some of the recommended changes were aimed towards increasing consistency with the Bright Futures guidelines. For example, one suggested change was to update the number and timing of well-child visits to match the periodicity recommended by Bright Futures, so it would be consistent with Medicaid's guidelines. And this entailed adding an additional well-child visit at 2.5 years, and also recommending annual visits even throughout adolescence. Another group of recommended changes were those designed to help HFS-enrolled providers more easily implement Bright Futures, for example, by providing consistent lists of HFS-approved and Bright Futures recommended tools for things like developmental screening and vision and hearing screening and risk assessment. There are many tools that are already listed in this medical handbook, but some have a high degree of detail and clarity and some do not. And so by creating more consistent lists, we thought we would allow providers to know exactly where they could find both tools that are recommended by Bright Futures and that are approved for reimbursement from HFS. Additionally, with Bright Futures offering so many resources like parent handouts and visit forms, all of which are available online, another recommendation was to link them directly from the handbook to make them easier for HFS-enrolled providers to access. Finally, many changes were recommended to the handbook with the goal of promoting key elements of Bright Futures, both to providers and to payers. Introductory language emphasizing the concept of anticipatory guidance was suggested, as was some additional language highlighting the family-centered nature of Bright Futures well-child visits. We also recommended several new appendices be added, focusing on topics that Bright Futures recommends, but that aren't really given a lot of space in the current handbook format. So these were things like breastfeeding best practices, care coordination best practices, and the Reach Out and Read program, all of which are recommended to help promote these kind of key concepts and practices beyond the typical information you'll find in the handbook about reimbursement and sort of nitty-gritty policy. As I mentioned, the project also entailed some efforts to communicate with HFS-enrolled providers and other stakeholders. ICAP and Illinois Health Connect produced a 2012 calendar that was for primary care providers and their patients, and it had messages from Bright Futures about well child care and other health promotion messages, and over 5,000 HFS-enrolled providers and child health stakeholders in the state received copies of this calendar. And many have been prominently posted in waiting and exam rooms so that families can also access this information. And even though it's late October, I do have a few copies here if anyone wants to look at it afterwards. Another example of some of our communications is an article about performing vision screening for preschoolers in accordance with Bright Futures. This appeared in Illinois Pediatrician, which is ICAP's newsletter, but also was reprinted by Illinois Health Connect for all of their nearly 5,000 primary care providers. We've also had other articles in Illinois Pediatrician, such as this one on an overview of Bright Futures and its relationship to the Affordable Care Act. And this same topic has been presented at ICAP's annual education conference for pediatricians and will also be presented to family physicians and family medicine residents. So, where are we today in our efforts to make Bright Futures standard of care for all Medicaid and CHIP-enrolled providers in the state of Illinois? Well, the comprehensive list of recommended changes to the handbook that I mentioned, they were submitted to HFS in May 2012, and as of now, they're still being reviewed internally by the department. Following their approval of the submitted recommendations, ICAP will be implementing these changes to the handbook and may also work on further enhancements or the creation of new content, such as a comprehensive mental health section, which is lacking. Another step is to develop provider notices following the approval of the handbook revisions to educate primary care providers in the state on changes made and support them as they attempt to implement approved services. These provider notices and other articles and communications materials are also going to be distributed to private insurers. ICAP's also working to increase the Illinois-specific content on the Bright Futures part of our website, especially following the approval of the handbook revisions, when we hope we'll be able to link to a new version of the handbook that has all of this information in it. And then finally, ICAP is planning to identify more detailed policy recommendations and formulate next steps regarding policy issues that emerged over the course of this review process. So even though the project is continuing, several lessons have already emerged. We learned early on that a need existed for broader infrastructure and policy changes to reinforce Bright Futures concepts. Care coordination, for example, was referenced in the handbook only in passing, and there weren't any tools, guidance, infrastructure in the handbook to assist providers. Recommended additions of an appendix on care coordination and also linking to tools that could be used for care coordination were just a few of the ways that we sought to have this concept emphasized in the handbook really as a matter of Illinois policy. And we hope that when HFS approves the changes recommended by our advisory committee, that they may consider what other future policy steps could be taken to further encourage things like care coordination. We also learned from our committee members that there are many common challenges that practices experience when trying to implement Bright Futures. The most common one that we hear is the amount of time it takes to conduct a Bright Futures well-child visit. And this really came up regardless of practice setting or the proportion of Medicaid and CHIP clients seen by the provider. This made it clear that technical assistance and coaching are very needed services, and they can help address Bright Futures implementation strategies at the practice level. Even with the added clarity that we've suggested adding to the provider handbook, there's still many challenges that require technical assistance. It's a lengthy document, it's very legal in nature, and many providers are not able to take the time to read it, especially those providers who are the ones who see the highest proportion of Medicaid and CHIP clients. So having technical assistance to really help with providers navigating this very long document would be very helpful. Illinois Health Connect already has a tremendous quality assurance program, and they're great at assisting these practices, but I think this speaks to the need for additional and continued effort to bring technical assistance and practice support. And in fact, as more and more practices make the switch to electronic medical records, many of which are not really designed for children or don't have Bright Futures content sort of integrated, I think there will be greater need for technical assistance on integrating the Bright Futures guidelines into EMR systems. So before I turn things over to the next presenter, I want to leave you with a few places to go for further resources. The Bright Futures materials, including their tool and resource kit, guidelines, pocket guide, periodicity schedule, and much more are all freely available online for review and reference purposes, although the AAP asks that if you're going to be using them in practice or integrating them into your EMR, that you please purchase them from the AAP bookstore. The Illinois Medical Provider Handbook discussed today can also be accessed online. And again, our committee's recommendations are currently being reviewed by HFS, so the handbook that you would access online has not had these changes incorporated into it, but we hope that will be available soon. Finally, you can always visit the Bright Futures section of the ICAP website, where we're constantly adding new content regarding Illinois-specific tools for people to implement Bright Futures in practice. And hopefully soon, again, as we have the approval from HFS, we'll have provider notices clarifying policy and best practices and a number of new resources up there. And I'll be happy to take any questions. Can you repeat that?
Responses from communities of color about cultural sensitivity.
Great. So that's a good question. Have there been any responses from communities of color about cultural sensitivity and practices? And we did purposefully make sure that we had a great diversity in our advisory committee, and including in terms of where they practice, with what communities, and their own ethnic and racial makeup. So we did get some, you know, feedback from them about challenges that they experience in their practice, depending on settings. But I don't know how much of that has actually been incorporated into the handbook in any way. I think they did express that, you know, challenges in terms of interpretation needs or translation needs, that some of this needs to be a little bit more explicitly detailed in some of the policy. But beyond that, I'm not sure.